Hello, amigo. Welcome to my mind. I hope you're staying sane and you are staying safe. If this is your first time here, welcome on board. My name is Valerie and you are in my mind. Thank you guys for joining me on another episode, and this one is called Maths and Jazz with Lawrence Odigwe. Is don't worry, you hear it. We had a very lengthy and re-enlightening conversation on the subject, and I hope you enjoy this one. I will just attach the file and you listen. Let me know your thoughts. Welcome to my mind. How have you been?
I've been well. I've been doing well. Taking it one day at a time, juggling the numerous things that I have to do. But I have to say that compared to you, it's like you do a lot and you're doing them well. So I'm trying to be like you when I grow up.
Thank you. Can you just introduce yourself? Let them know who you are.
Okay. My name is Lawrence Odigwe. Valerie knows me as a musician, so I'm going to say I'm a musician first. but I'm also a mathematician. Actually, I'm a math professor. I teach math in a university in New York. And lately, in the past 5 years, I've become a computational neuroscientist. I applied math and computation to solving neuroscience problems. At heart, I'm an artist, you know. When I'm not thinking, when I want to pick one thing to think about, I think of art, I think of music. What else? You can ask me more questions about myself. I don't know what else to say.
let's work with that.
Okay.
Before I start asking questions.
Yep.
Do you have a particular principle that takes you through life daily, more like a mantra?
Oh. Wow. Yes. As I got older, I've learned myself, you know, I've understood myself better, and I hope to keep understanding myself more. Just from my intro, you can tell that I'm somebody who is not comfortable doing one thing. People see that as something that is good. People see it as a good thing, but I don't. I see it as I feel like it's a blessing, but the curse is also heavy. It's also a curse, you know. It's heavy to carry that personality, that inclination of wanting to do a lot of things, wanting to do music and do it well, wanting to do mathematics and get a PhD in it and do it well, wanting to explore neuroscience, you know, at the same time, there are a bunch of other things I do that I don't want to go into. I don't want to go into, you know, and if you go into every microcosm of my life, if you go at the micro scale of my life, that's how it is too. Mantra, I wouldn't say mantra, but just a way of living is, take it one at a time. Yeah. Know that you can only do one thing well at a time. And if you don't finish, there is a next day, you know, to continue. Actually, on my Twitter, that's what I actually wrote today. It's so funny. I can't remember how I wrote it, but I think I wrote work hard. Don't worry about not finishing what's on your to-do list today. Just put it on tomorrow's to-do list or something like that. Yeah. So I think that's my mantra for right now, this stage of my life.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
So how did you go from maths to jazz? Because truthfully, that seems a little contradictory.
Well, growing up, when I was around, I think when I was around maybe 7, 8, I remember I was in primary 2. I said to myself, okay, what I want to do, I want to be an actor or a singer. And then, but I really want to have a degree in accounting or computer science. You know?
Wow.
Yeah. I said those, like, I'm always going with two things. I didn't come from an art inclined family. I grew up in Nigeria, there's 7 of us. So my parents, they are not poor, but they didn't have the time to be sending kids to lessons, for music lessons, yeah. You know. And I wasn't exposed to formal music education. I wasn't exposed to the fact that you could actually do stuff like that. So I just kept that dream, just believing that, oh, one day this is going to happen. One day I'm just going to show up and become an actor. So, so I went to secondary school, studied, did well, was a good student. So in Nigeria, if you're doing well, they'll say, okay, you have to choose art or science. But if you do well, they'll push you to the sciences. So I was pushed to the sciences. And I studied a lot of mathematics and physics and further math, did well. But this whole time, I had not been working on my art side, you know. I just believed that, one day I'm going to find a place to start acting and start singing. Just dumb, you know. So it was when I came to the U.S., you know, after I came to the U.S. in 2000. After secondary school, so I've been in the U.S. for 22 years. You know, people are talking about Jackba. Me, my own is reverse Jackba. That's what I want to do. You know, if we now vote Peter Obi put on for office, me at the reverse Jackba, I will come back. I don't tire. You know. So yeah. So when I came to the U.S. in 2000. That was when I was exposed to, I knew that people sang in Nigeria. They did music without any formal training, without knowing theory, you know, without, but once I came to the US, I realized I don't want to do it that way. I want to learn the theory, you know, I want to understand it. I want to understand music. You know, by then I had narrowed it down to music. Hey, I want to do music, not acting anymore. Yeah, but I started as a computer science major actually in university at Duquesne University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And after a while, I was going to switch to mathematics. But I had already gotten a lot of credit in computer science. So I ended up doing double major in computer science and mathematics. Wow. Bachelor of Arts in Computer Science, Bachelor of Science in Mathematics. So you see how I feel like this curse has been following me. So I really wanted to do music. I went to, career during my undergrad, I was in a choir, in the school Catholic church choir, you know, and I was very serious with it. It exposed me to a lot of music, in terms of liturgical lyrics, liturgical words, which I am so grateful, because some of those things, I just dig into them and pull stuff out if I'm composing or if I'm writing. But yeah, in terms of music, in terms of the depth of musical theory, it didn't quite do a lot for me. So I started listening to jazz. That was when I started hearing a different sound, sound that attracts me, you know, dissonance, you know, like... I don't know if you're a musician, so you know this. You know, like you're familiar with triads. You know, let's say you want to play triads, and then you're familiar with the seventh chord. If you want to, if you want to hear, you add the seventh. You know, and jazz, I realize that they don't rely on triad. They just their basic chord is the seventh chord, major seventh, minor seventh. And I could hear the difference, you know, and I started gravitating towards that. So after college, I looked for a piano teacher and started learning jazz, and I've been taking piano lessons in jazz, and I've been playing jazz since I would say 2003, 2004, you know. But you might be asking, okay, so what happened to your math career? So if I wasn't an American citizen then, I had to be employed or be going to school if I want to maintain my immigration status. Okay. So after college, I didn't feel like getting a job. You know, my goal, I wanted to do music. I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to go to grad school and get a master's. By the time I finish, this music thing within my head go come out by then. Yeah, this small childish thing where they pursue me selling music. So I got a master's. I was still the music thing was growing, the music bug. You know, I said, I'm gonna get it. I continued. I got a PhD. And I said to myself, okay, finally I'm gonna become an adult, get a job, get a professor job, and just do my thing and forget about this music. But immediately I graduated, I started looking for jobs at a place where music happens, which is New York City, you know. So I moved to New York in 2013, you know. So when I graduated, I moved to New York, and it has a very vibrant music scene. So I'm like, oh, well, I'm just going to have this good job that God has blessed me with at a university, and I'm also going to do music. So I've been doing both of them since then. So to answer your question, the short version is that there was never one, and then I added the other. It's always been the two tracks, the art track and the math track, you know.
So who did you find solace listening to?
Oh, cool. In terms of instrument, I listen a lot to Herbie Hancock as a pianist. I listen to Ahmad Jamal. I think Ahmad Jamal is the most unique pianist we have. And then when it comes to vocals, of course, you have to listen to somebody like Nat King Cole. You have to listen to Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan. And then that's one person that I have listened to over and over again is Diane Reeves.
Okay.
Diane Reeves. I think you should check her out. You like her.
Okay.
But I also listen to R&B. I listen to R&B, and I want to say something. I hope some people won't find it offensive. I listen to a lot of R. Kelly. You know, I just feel like he's such a good artist. You know, and then I listen to somebody that whenever I listen to, I learn something new that I can implement in my own way. I'm never able to copy her, but I just learn something new is Patti LaBelle. Patti LaBelle, I think she's such a great entertainer, like a very dynamic vocalist. And she, one thing I like about her is that she's not afraid. You know, like when as a singer you want to sing, you're like, okay, let me calm down and make sure I'm in tune, you know. It's like, I'm going to put my power out there, and then I'm going to worry. Then I'm going to worry about making sure that I'm in tune while maintaining this energy, you know. Yeah. So So those are the people I listen to. Yeah. Nowadays I listen to a lot of Nigerian artists. Do you want me to talk about them also?
Yes, please. Yes, please.
Okay.
I know Kiss Daniel is one of them.
Oh yeah, I listen. Everybody would think I have this relationship. Well, I don't know if I'll call it relationship or what with Kiss Daniel. It's because this song. Okay, let me tell you what happened. I was listening to a playlist and then I heard a Kiss Daniel song. I think it's called Barnabas.
Yeah,
Barnabas. I got plenty well. Mm-hmm. So I went to the album and I started listening. I'm like, well, that's a cool album. But then Oshik came up. I'm like, there's something unique about this song. I was trying to listen to the bass line. The bass line was just so subtle. The drum and the bass, the kick and the bass was just tight. And you could tell that it was played live, you know, that it wasn't like produced, you know. Mm. So I was also researching the song and I saw that it's Caveman and Kiss Daniels, you know. So that attracted me more to this song because I know that Cave Daniels, they're very raw in terms of music. And somebody had told me to listen to them that my music reminds him of their music, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. So I listened to the song over and over again, how simple yet complex it is, you know. But by the time I finish, I already know the bass line and I already know the lyrics to the song. So I was in my piano one day, I was just singing to the song, and then my hand went to the bass line. I started playing the bass line. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna redo this and record it. So I recorded it and I put it, and a lot of people had stuff to say about it. Like, okay. The one thing is that people were like, do the later song or duh. I'm like, you know what? I listen to the song, I'm like, there's not a lot to work with in this song for me. You know, I play piano. I don't like having backing track. But you know what? I'm gonna play it how a single pianist would do it. So I did it that way. So that's the end of my Kiss Daniel obsession. That's the end of my Kiss Daniel quote unquote obsession. Yes, but I like I listen to Kiss Daniel. I think he's a great artist. When I watch his I'm gonna say something that people are gonna come after me. When I watch his live performances, sometimes I'm like, I think you have so much in your songs that you don't need to be trying to get people hype. I think if you just calm down and sing, it's enough. Then the messing up the I don't know. Let me not put it. It's the genre. So yeah, it can perform in any way. Yeah, I love Kiss Daniel. Fireboy DML. I think Fireboy DML is doing well. Somebody that I've respected and I've grown to keep respecting is Flavor Abania. Yeah, he has a sound. And I feel like he keeps working to make it better, you know. There are some people that I listen to and I can't, and I'm hoping they put out good stuff. There's this guy, John Oga, that had a song, Uncle Suru, back in the day. He's actually a good friend of mine. Who else have I listened to? I love Tiwa. I love Tiwa. I love that 49.99 song. 49.99 song. Okay, you know, my God. I get money before, no be property. I think, So before I used to be such I don't know if I'll call it a purist or whatever. I didn't have time for pop and by extension Niger pop. But now, I dig in and I listen to them and I take some stuff from them.
Okay. So you've lived in New York for quite some time.
Yes.
Being a Nigerian in diaspora, did you have any difficulties fitting in when you first arrived?
Oh, being a Nigerian in diaspora, No, actually, I came to university in the US. I was in my late teenage years, out of secondary school. So this was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's a school. It's a mostly white school. There's a few black people, but the city has a good number of black people, black Americans, you know, maybe 20 up to a high percentage, more than 15%, I would say. Coming as a young adult, I had so much hubris, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I had so much confidence that, oh, I'm going to change the world, you know. and having the personality I have of wanting to do 100 things at once.
Yeah.
I was just doing them and not worrying about what people think. So fitting in for me wasn't an issue, mostly because I was younger when I came. I think that's a factor. Secondly, I did undergraduate education here. Once you do an undergraduate education in the US, it's quite different than coming here and doing a master's. Because as an undergrad, think about when you're in the university, everybody's young, you know, that's where you learn how to be an adult. That's where you try everything, you know, and forced to become part of the society, part of the system, you know. So I lived in Pittsburgh, and then moving to New York in 2013 is just like 2014 is just like moving from maybe Abuja to Lagos, you know. So
okay.
It's still the same country, you know. Yeah.
Mm. You find a lot of people say maths is a little useless in our day-to-day lives, but what's that special thing about it? I mean, you're a maths professor, so there must truly be something.
Well, anybody that says math is useless, that person is not exposed enough, and I don't have time for that person, you know. Because I don't have time to convince you to say that math is useless in your day-to-day life. Of course, if you want to become a journalist, you know, and you took calculus, or you took Calc 3, you took partial differential equations or differential equations, it's going to be a little bit useless to you, you know. Just like if you want to be a doctor and you spend 5 years taking a class in painting, you know. Or you did your undergraduate degree in painting before going to be a doctor. It's going to be useless to you if all you want to do is be a doctor, right? Just like math is going to be useless to you if all you want to do is be a newscaster. But if you want to live a well-rounded life, everything you learn comes in handy. Everything I've learned in this world, I use it. Like, my mom is a tailor. When I finished GSS 3, after writing junior work, I told her I wanted to learn how to sew. She took me to one of her friends, and I learned to sew, because she sews for women, and I'm like, I don't want to sew for women. I want to learn to sew for men. She sent me to one guy, and the guy taught me how to sew for men, you know.
Mm.
Somebody would say, okay, that's a sewing skill. The point is that I don't have the time to cut and sew my own stuff these days. But whenever I go to the tailor, I tell them, hey, this is what I want. You know, hey, put the dart here. Don't put the dart there. Hey, I want the gum stay. I want this type of gum stay, not this type. You know, so I'm able to communicate with them. So if you don't know mathematics, there are certain things you can't communicate really well, you know. Mm. Now, being a math professor, I know that there are 100 things I can just tell you now that you can do from just doing a bachelor's degree in mathematics, you know. One of my students just graduated with a master's degree in applied math, and immediately he got a job in a lab, in a biology lab, doing programming for them, modeling for them. I'm a trained mathematician, but I work with neuroscientists. I work with doctors, you know. I take their data and I use it to model, write a mathematical model for things, do simulations and all those things. So I don't know, you know, if Peter B didn't pay attention to certain math, he wouldn't be able to be doing all the calculations he's doing that make him able to convince people.
So how do you balance it? Everything that you do, maybe especially you go to work in the morning and then at night you're a jazz musician. Do you perform?
Do I perform outside? Yes, I do. Yeah, but to answer how I balance it, I make a to-do list.
Okay.
And then I try to do it. And if I don't finish, I put in the next day's to-do list. And the most serious is, on a typical day, what I do these days, it's like, because I'm learning how to, I'm knowing myself better now. So I wake up, I used to wake up very late, but these days, I change a lot in my diet. I drink a lot of water. I've always exercised, but I feel like I removed a lot of carbs, a lot of unwanted carbs in my diet. So I have nice, better sleep now. So I usually wake up 6 a.m. And I meditate. And then I practice for 2 hours. So close to like sometimes 1 hour. I just practice as much as I can get without getting tired. And then I take a shower and go to school. I try to leave. I actually end up leaving later than every other person, but I come back home around maybe 7 p.m. or something, and then I write. I try to listen to some music, jazz, Afrobeat, just keep myself inspired. I want to start watch more movies, but I haven't been able to get into that. But within the 8 to 7, I also take 1 hour 30 minutes to go to the gym. I usually come back around 7:30. Sometimes if I have stuff to record, that's when I record them. Like tomorrow I'm going to the studio to do a recording. Yeah. And then I come back. Yeah.
Okay, that's nice. That's nice.
Yes.
So lastly, let's talk about your album.
Yes.
What space were you when you were creating? What was going through your head? What was going through your mind?
Oh, rhythm sustained.
Yes.
Sustained. Okay. And before I say anything, I went with the name Lawrence Chuno, Lorenz, then Chuno, Chuno. That was the name I had then. And the origin of the name was that I was in grad school when I kind of, quote unquote, launched my professional music career. And I didn't want them to think I wasn't a serious mathematician. So I went with a different name. Which worked, but at the same time, I think I shouldn't have done that. I should have just stuck with my name because I like my real name. Lawrence Chuno rolls off the mouth than Lawrence Udigwe, but I still like my name. And at the same time, if I had wanted to use a different name, I should have been bold enough to choose something that is more, you know, something that once you hear it, you know it's not a real name, like how T-Pain chose T-Pain or something like that. I should have chosen something like that. So now, later in life, Lawrence Chuno sounds like a real name. Lawrence Udigwe is also a real name, you know. Lawrence Udigwe is doing better. He's doing really well in mathematics. Lawrence Chuno wasn't doing great in music. So I'm like, you know what? I need to choose one name, and I have to go with a stronger name. So I went back to Lawrence Udigwe, you know. So I'm saying all this to say that if you go to Spotify to look for my music, I don't have any music under Lawrence Udigwe now. I'm going to have music under Lawrence Udigwe by maybe June of this year. But I have music under Lawrence Chuno. And that's the album you're referring to. It's called Rhythm Sustained. And I've forgotten your question. Sorry.
Okay. I said, what was the space that you were in?
The space I was in was I was in a songwriter's space, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't in I was in a compositional space, let's put it that way. I wasn't in a hit making space. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't trying to make hits. I was trying to compose songs that I consider very beautiful. You know, So I wrote a bunch of songs. I wrote about 15 songs that I had written over the years. I usually write music first, and then I usually come up with melody, and then I write music to it, and then I write lyrics to them, you know. So, but the funny thing is that sometimes when I'm coming up with a melody, I'm already coming up with lyric to it, you know.
Oh.
And sometimes the lyrics are the very nonsense lyrics. There might be words, you know, there might be words I've heard, but I put them together, they may not make sense, you know. They might be like cat jumping while window slit is oscillating, you know, stuff like that, you know. But that's what gave me the melody. I'll keep the melody, and then at the end, I'm gonna change things, you know.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. So there were a few songs that you can ask me about a few of the songs if you want, you know. Is there any song you want me to talk about in particular?
Hold on. There's one you spoke. You spoke your dialect.
Okay. Neuronum. Yeah. Okay. Neuronum is that it's one of the ones that the melody and the lyrics came together, but the lyrics was just nonsense. The lyrics didn't mean anything. But I love
that
melody.
That was first track, right?
Yes, that was first track. But I really loved the melody. So at the end, I had to take my time. It was like writing a dissertation to write that song, the lyrics to that song. Because I wanted the Igbo to be very, very authentic, and I didn't want to be adding English in between Igbo, you know, which is common in Afrobeat now, but I didn't want to do it. The song had English lyrics to it too, but it's like a whole phrase is in English, or a whole verse is in English, then another verse is in Igbo. Yeah, so the song Neuronum, it literally means hear my voice, you know, but in a way figuratively it means let's come together, let's talk, let's dialogue, you know. And it's a very soft call to action by saying, listen, I come with music. I come with music. Come and hear my sound. You know, let's sit together, enjoy this music. Let's talk to each other. Let's try to understand each other more. You know, so yeah, so that's what the song is about.
Okay, that's a very beautiful song. That's
Thank you.
My favorite.
Really? Why? What is it about it?
I think it's just the way it came in, you know. It's the first track, and I think you really took out your time to think over it and make it the first, you know, and it was a good choice.
Yes, thank you. My musicians in the song, the drummer is a white guy, the bassist is a white guy, the guitarist from Mozambique, so he's an African and killed it, you know. The bassist and the drummer, it wasn't easy for them. Like, there's a part that wasn't easy. They are really well-trained jazz musicians. But there's this part that goes, Yeah. To us Africans, to us Nigerians, that's very straightforward, you know, beats, you know. But to them, it wasn't, it took a while for them to get it, you know. And there are things that Brazilian musicians do that take me a while to get, some rhythm that take me a while to get. There are some rhythms that Middle Eastern musicians, they do that it's just not natural to me, and it takes me a while to get. So that music, that song, the way my interaction with my musicians, my bassist, his name is John Gray, and my drummer, Michael Vitale, our interaction then, I learned a lot about paying attention and respecting other people's music, because they gave me every respect in the world with that music and took their time to really, really work on it and get it to the point where it sounds like an African playing the drums and the bass. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Wow. That's so nice. Mm-hmm. It's really been a pleasure conversing with you, Lawrence.
That's it. Wow. You're chasing me away like that.
You know, we said 30 minutes and it's past 30
it's
minutes.
It's past 30. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I can't wait to hear your music or like on radio. You know.
Don't worry, it's coming.
It's coming.
I've been writing a lot lately, so
it's coming. Remember the thing we talked about? I've forgotten all my homework that I gave you on Instagram.
I remember.
Okay.
Thank you very much if you've listened to the end, and special thanks to Lawrence Odigwe for accepting to do this, you know, and it's been nice, right? I'll see you next week. Goodbye.